Let us open the infallible, inerrant, inspired, sufficient, and efficient word of the living God, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now you have your Bibles open in Psalm 1. And throughout my almost now 40 years of ministry, this is one of the Psalms, together with Psalm 119 and Psalm 19, that speaks so every time I read this Psalm, every time I meditate upon this Psalm, that brings me back always to what ministry should be all about. And you cannot do it without it. Whether in terms of praying, whether in terms of preparation, and even in terms of witness, you cannot do without what this psalm teaches us. And I have been here now in USA for 20 years. And we learned a lot throughout these years, not only in terms of new words, but also of stories. And I remember a few years ago, I was reading, I don't know what it's a cartoon, whatever it is, but there was a conversation between a teenager and his father. And the conversation went like that. The teenager said, "Dad, which do you think is America's worst problem? Ignorance or apathy?" And the father said, "Don't know, don't really care either." To know and to care for God's word really matters. And the worst problem that you're going to face in your daily living and in your preaching and your ministry, wherever you are, will be this. The worst problem that you are going to face in your ministry and the people to whom you address, not only God's people, but also those who do not know him yet, the worst thing that can happen to you is really ignorance of the word of God, which for me is a kind of and result in apathy. One of those busy days of Jesus, Matthew 22, you don't need to go there. There was a busy day in the life of Jesus when scribes, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, the lawyers came to question him. And to the Sadducees, once Jesus said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, not the power of God." And it goes in two ways. One is not only to know the scripture, but also to interpret the scripture as it should be. He said to his disciples in Luke 24, "Call them foolish ones, slow of heart, to believe in all the prophets have spoken." Brothers and sisters, let me just share with you this morning. And I'm going to dedicate my time in one of these aspects of ministry and personal ministry as well in life. There are three great temptations among all the temptations and trials they're going to face. And it's not only in terms of academics now, but there are three things that I'd like you to keep in mind. And these are temptation trials that I have experienced throughout my whole life as a preacher, as a teacher, as a servant of the Lord. The first temptations, it will be the relapse in your, on our personal prayer life. I know we have so many things to do, we have so many things to think and to read, that the first thing that we compromise, unfortunately, and by the way, that's not just a problem here in America, it's throughout the world. The first thing we compromise is really our personal prayer living, prayer life. The second thing related to that, very connected to that, is that we compromise or relapse in our personal daily meditation of the Word of God. And the third thing is really relapse in our witnessing across the street and around the world to both believers as well as unbelievers. And it always amazes me. We talk about so many things, but when everything is said and done, the bottom line will be, how is your intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ through prayer, through the meditation of His Word, and through the work itself? This is a serious business. Now, these psalms address the crucial issue for every single person. That's the first psalm of the Bible that opened up for the whole hymnal here. And by the way, before I go a little bit farther, I'm going just to say one thing here. What does this psalm say about Jesus? What does this psalm have to do with Jesus? And let me tell you what I believe this psalm tells about Jesus. When you read the first three verses, and by the way, you could outline, I'm not going to all the verse of this psalm, but you could outline this chapter, this psalm in many ways. One of them would be verse 1 to 3 is about a godly person, and verse 4 to 6 about the ungodly person. That's the two aspects of this psalm. And the Bible only divides people in these two categories. Those who are close to the Lord, those who are away from the Lord. And there is no in between. You are with Him or without, against Him or away from Him. And that's the psalm goes. I would like just to highlight these three first verses together for our meditation this morning. But what does it have to do with Jesus? Every time I look at the Bible, I look for Jesus. Now this psalm says this: blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Let me ask you a question. What man you have ever knew in the Bible, in your personal experience, who never walked in the counsel of the ungodly, always in the counsel of God, who never stood in the path of sinners, but always the path of holiness, and who never sat in the seat of the scornful? Who is the man that you know in the scriptures or in your personal experience who delighted always in the law, in the instruction of the Lord, and who always showed that he meditated and do everything according to the word of the Lord, who prospered in every way? There's only one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the first thing I'd like to keep in mind. This point for me to the Lord Jesus, he's the only one that could fit that description of Psalm 1, 1 to 3. But Psalm is also addressed the righteous one. And sometimes I wonder, how can we talk about the righteous when the Bible tells there is no one righteous? Now, I have the second aspect of this psalm that could apply to us. And I believe it has to do with the fact that we are righteous by the fact that we have been justified. And if you have your Bibles, please read with me, because it brings a great consolation. And you can keep going in Psalm 1. The Bible tells also in a way about that blessed person and that justified one. Look, Psalm 32. In what sense are we righteous before the Lord? Psalm 32. I'm going just to read a few verses here for you to see. In that sense, we can really be called righteous, and we can really take heed of Psalm 1, Psalm 19, Psalm 119, etc. Listen, says, blessed, that's the same word there. Blessed, that's the condition of the state of spirit of joyful, being joyful before the Lord. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For the day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Verse 5. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. In that sense, we can approach the scriptures as righteous one. Imputed righteousness. The Bible declares us righteous. And now this someone really appeals to us. Blessed is the man. This is the righteous one, the godly one in this regard. Now let us approach from this perspective. And I would like to call your attention first of all for these three verses. And there are three things I would like to call your attention immediately in verse 1. Very quickly. I would like to keep this. You may say these are three steps towards contempt against God. The first thing the Bible says is, blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, the opposite of the counsel of the ungodly will be the counsel of God. And I'd like you to keep in mind here, and that you may mark the gradation of these verses from bad to worse. You will hear, we learn to live like them and to speak like them. But he says this, first of all, don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. You know what the Bible is telling me? And please tell it to your congregation and to your young people. The first thing the Bible is telling us about this blessed one here is that he has to be careful with his ears, what he hears. That's it. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And one other thing that we have, by the way, you're reading a lot. And I can tell you where you're going to find in your theological books and readings the counsel of the ungodly. Just read the liberals. Be careful. You have to read. I know that. But keep in mind that what you're going to hear, how do I know that such counsel is a counsel of the ungodly, a counsel of the wicked one? There's only way, only one way, is when you know for sure the counsel of God. And for you to know the counsel of God, you have to really meditate upon the word of the Lord. A lot of the problems that you're going to face in your ministry and among the people to whom your ministry is that these people are biblically, many times, biblically illiterate. I was in Cape Town last October, and we're talking about world evangelization. And among many crucial issues that were brought there to Cape Town, that really has been an impediment so that we could advance more and more the propagation of the Lord, of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ across the street and around the world, and also to strengthen God's people for that work, there was one group there, issue group, that came with a thing that the problem, one of the key problems throughout the world, especially America and Europe. And they brought the statistics. It was amazing. By the way, you can go to lausanne.org and find that was Fergus MacDonald who gave that presentation. And they call it Bible poverty. That's a problem. And by the way, maybe some of you here are in that category, Bible poverty. You read a lot about the Bible, read commentaries, but you don't take time to eat yourself from the Word. That's Bible poverty. Read a lot about the Bible. Read a lot of what others said about the Bible. And I was reading Calvin once, St. Calvin. And St. Calvin said, if the knowledge that you have, I'm just paraphrasing him, if the knowledge of you that you have of the Scriptures is based on what you have read about the Scriptures, you don't know the Scriptures. How do you know the counsel is of God? because the counsel is a wicked counsel if you know the counsel of God. And blessed will be, according to the Bible, those who are going to order life according to the counsel of the Lord. That's the principle that goes to your ears. Be careful what you're hearing. Be careful what you're listening. By the way, tell it to your young people. Because the counsel of the wicked comes from every side. TV, peers, songs, radio, magazine, you name it. I don't have much time to go to watch TV for several reasons. And by the way, I like some movies, especially Indiana Jones kind of things. And James Bond, if they take three things out, women, drinking, and gambling. You take these three things, James Bond is fantastic. But it's amazing. And our people, our young people, exposed with these movies, theaters, and music. And amazing how much ungodly counsel comes through them. One of my son said once, he said, Dad, because for example, these of what do you call these 30 minutes program that you have with sitcoms? You know, I don't have stomach for that stuff. And you know, some of you say, hey, you have to see that. What's it? Friends? Is that Friends? One of those? Friends. Is that Friends? Friends. You see, I have not watched that stuff. But I heard. And one day my son said, Dad, there is one that is very good for you. You know, Friends, you know what Friend is? It's just a group of bunch of young people that are living together, having sex together, and you name it. Lying to one another. And people laugh at it. And it's amazing how our young people just embrace that. All counsel of the ungodly, of the evil one, through the TV. One day my son said, Dad, there is one that is very good for you. It's a family thing. You go and watch Everybody Loves Raymond. And one day I got home and there was Everybody Loves Raymond. I want to watch for one sit. What do you have there? The couple is always lying to one another. And there is an old couple there, the father-in-law and the mother-in-law, that live like cat and dog. So what's the deal here? And they do it in such a way that looks laughable. That's the way life is. Proverbs 1:10 said, my son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. There was a 19th century humorist that said this, John Billings. He said, it's better not to know so much than to know so many things that ain't so. And the brother said once, whatever you know ought to be so. I tell my students, I hope and pray that throughout your ministry, you're going to spend more time in this word than any other book ever written, even commentaries. And by the way, and I read a lot. It's amazing how the Bible teaches about that. The first thing is, be careful what you hear. We watch not in the counsel of the ungodly. Secondly, nor stands in the path of sinners. In other words, you know what the idea here. The path of sinners means, you see how people, these sinners, transgress of the Lord, the law of the Lord, live. And you look at the way of live, the way they live, and you want to live like that. In other words, if the first part was be careful with your ears, tell your young people that. Be careful what you hear. The second thing is be careful of what you see. That's your eyes. Don't stand in the way of sin. Be careful what you see. In other words, don't station yourself in the way and the manner that people lived. In other words, the Bible said, blessed are those, if you put the opposite way, blessed are those who do not admire or stare or want to live the kind of life or manner of those who goes against God and His words. And it's amazing how many young people, and maybe some of us too, want to live like Brad Pitt. And that's one of the things the Bible says, blessed are the one. Do not be envious of those who do wrong. And this is, I think, related to the way you see things. and look at people. Be careful with what you see and deeply admire and want to imitate. I hope and pray that the Holy Spirit is going to use each one of us in such a way that you're going to fall in love with Jesus. Who do you want to imitate? And the Bible gives you several examples. Hebrews 12, Hebrews 13, 1 Corinthians 11, 1, when Paul says, whatever, 1 Corinthians 10, 31, on whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God, for the measure of God, to magnify God, and do not be a stumbling block to the Jews or the Gentiles, meaning the lost, nor to the church of God, because I do everything to for the profit of many, that they may be saved. And he concludes in 1 Corinthians 11, 1 says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Look at Christ. Hebrews 12 says, consider him. Blessed the man who does not stand in the path of sinners. And finally, he says this, the third negative things, and do not sit in the seat of mockers. If the first part is be careful what you hear, the second is be careful how you see things and what you admire. The third thing is be careful with your mouth. Be careful what you say. Don't sit on the seat of the scornful. Don't settle yourself in those seats. And I think someone has said that. The meaning is very simple here, is it not? Don't be and don't sit and don't be part of those who ridicule God and defiantly reject His word. God and His word are not to be mocked nor to be despised. Don't mock truth and life. I believe that's a lot to do with our mouth and tongues. Be careful of what you say, what you speak. Tell it to your young people too. And you too, be careful. That's the three negative aspects that the psalmist gives us. Be careful what you hear, be careful what you see, be careful what you say. You know, these things have tremendous and serious consequence in your well-being before the Lord. In your joyful living before the Lord. But the other side of it comes in verse 2 and 3. And I'm going to finish with this. That's what you should not. Be careful. Don't. Be careful. Don't hear this. Don't look at this. Don't speak this. But then he says the part that really make this person being able to know what is the counsel of God and what's the counsel of the wicked, what's the path of the holiness and what's the path of sinners, and what does it mean to be a mocker and what does it mean to be a praiser? Where do you get that information from? Then comes the second verse. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Just highlight that. His delight is in the law of the Lord, in the instruction of the Lord Jesus. And Calvin is right when Calvin believes that when he says the law of the Lord, he talks about the Holy Scriptures, nothing else but then exposition of the instruction of the Lord. Or, as someone has said, by the way, I'm quoting them because they're right, because that's what the Bible is teaching us. God is favorable to none but to those who zealously devote themselves to the study of divine truth, not only to read about it, but to study it. That's one of the things that I'd like to call your attention. Do you really delight in the word of the Lord in terms of meditating? By the way, I believe inspiration has ceased. But I believe in the continuing illumination of the Holy Spirit. And I truly believe that you can experience, the only way for us to experience the reality of the continuing illumination of the Holy Spirit is by the continued and daily meditation of God's Word. If you do it, I know you know what I'm talking about. It's a precious Word. You can't live without commentaries. You can't live without the Bible, the scriptures. Praise the Lord that you can have both. But please never put commentaries on the top of this book. That's not the way you should do. Put this book on the top of the commentaries and lead everything, study everything under the scrutiny of this book. People talk about being deep. Let us get deep in the Word. Sometimes you wonder, what do you mean to be deep in the Word? It's maybe to discover things that even Paul thought about. Maybe. But Jesus says that to be deep in His Word is to know His Word, to interpret His Word correctly, and obey it. Matthew chapter 7 says, do it to go deep, to get roots on the rock, go to my Word, understand it the way it should be understood, and do it. That's the way to get deep in the Word of God. The moment your delight's no longer in the Word of God, let me tell you, you're close to be over in your ministry. You talk about someone who delights in the law of the Lord. Is that your experience when you come to the Lord? Is that when you wake up, you say, Lord, I can't wait just to get to your Word. Is that the way you see it? Is that the way you live it? That's what he says. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Then the promise is very clear. The promise is here. Listen, the promise is here that you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. Not a wild tree. A tree that is really planted because of the word, the sap. By the way, John 15, when Jesus says, my Father is the vine dresser and I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you keep reading that text, the question is, what is the sap that feeds the branch from the vine, through the vine dresser? If you study that text carefully, the sap that Jesus talks about is His Word. No other way. Commentaries will not do it to you. Read them. Especially when you have people like brothers here who are committed to the Word of God. It's a great blessing. Avoid to read. By the way, I'm going to say something that they don't agree with me. That's okay with me. Avoid, spend time reading commentaries by liberals. I'm coming to the end of, not the end of my life, I hope not. Maybe my career, but anyway. I'm in my 60s. I said, if I go like my grandfather, I'll have 30 more years of my life. I said already, say, hey, enough of liberals. We have so many godly people writing commentaries. Said, Dad, I'm going to read commentaries. I'm going to read from these godly people. But I hope and pray when you leave this place here, you remember His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, He meditates day and night. The psalmist will say like this in Psalm 119, verse 65, great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. Or Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And it impresses me how much promises you have that and you're just there dead. And the Bible says, take my word. I'm going to finish just reading to you some verse of Psalm 19. Open your Bible, Psalm 19. I'm going just to finish and then we're going to give the benediction. Psalm 19. Listen, verse second part of the Psalm, verse 7 on. Listen to this. Listen how many promises. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul or restoring the soul. Is your soul, anybody else need conversion? Restoring? The Bible says, go to the Word. It has that power. to convert, to restore the soul. Listen, verse, second part. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Do you need to be wise? Go to the Word. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoice in the heart. Is your heart down? No joy? The Bible has a cure. Say, go to the Word. It will rejoice your heart. The Holy Spirit will bring it, because that's the fruit of the Spirit, joy. And the Holy Spirit is going to use His Word. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You don't know where you're going to go? Go to the Word. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And then he says this, more to be desired they than gold, and much fine gold. And listen to this. And in keeping them, there is a great reward. Isn't that amazing that God makes so much promise, and you're just here looking around, living like beggars? Go to the Word. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is a great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them have no dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Then he finished with these words that I'm going to finish this morning. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. And you begin to see the correlation here of the meditation of His law in our hearts and the words of our mouth be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer.